213 Rock with Hair Egg Melodica on Vinyl Stein's Classic Rock Radio.
Rock Station, Vinyl Times, le Classic Rock Radio, en direct avec nous, Mr. Geoff Tate. Hi, Geoff. Nice to meet you.
Hello. Hello. Nice to see you or hear from you again.
Okay. Yeah, great. Bonsoir, Monsieur Geoff Tate.
Bonsoir.
Hey, man. It's a great pleasure for talking to you tonight on 213 Rock, and the Rebrock station is Vinyl Times Classic Rock Radio. As you know, we are based in Paris, France, man. Oh, yeah.
Very good. Very good.
And thank you for accepting.
Well, I'm calling. I'm talking to you from Seattle.
Wow.
In the United States.
Oh, my God. Seattle. And thank you for accepting my interview request, Geoff.
My pleasure. What can I tell you?
A lot of things tonight. Oh, my God. Just let me introduce something for you. Le projet de metal progressif Sweet Oblivion avec Geoff Tate, ex-Queensryche, sortira son deuxième album intitulé Returnless le 9 avril prochain, c'est-à-dire dans à peu près moins de 10 jours, via le label Frontiers Records. L'album a été produit par Aldo Nolobile, vous le connaissez, hein, c'est le producteur et guitariste de Secret Sphere. Geoff, the second album of Sweet Oblivion Project will be released in less than 2 weeks. You seem very happy to work with your Italian friends, such as Simone Milaroni, who produced the first album with the great track True Colors. And the new Relentless is produced by Mr. Aldo Lonobile with two singles, Strong Pressures and Another Change. Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, it was both projects were very satisfying to work with, some great musicians. Simone, incredible guitar player, and same with Aldo, and I had a very good time working with on both projects. They're kind of an interesting way of making records. We are in different places, different countries and different continents, oftentimes working on these records, but with, of course, the modern technology that we have now, it's like being in the same room together, it's very fun to make these records and work with different people from different backgrounds and different cultures and different ideas. I'm very happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Et oui, qu'il est très heureux concernant donc ce projet Sweet Oblivion qui a été enregistré aujourd'hui avec la technologie, vous savez, dans différents endroits, différentes personnes, bien évidemment. La technologie permet cela. Donc en même temps, il est très satisfait de tout ça. Et puis dans différents pays, c'est incroyable, quoi. C'est incroyable la technologie, comme il le dit, quoi. And musically, during all your career with Queensryche, solo album or Operation Mindcrime, your band, you always wanted to go forward, never do the same thing, always to create something new. I mean, for example, reinventing the future from your album, The Key. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's I'm just very interested in music, all kinds of music, and I like to collaborate with different people, and I think music is a great communication tool, to speak with people and to influence people. It's a very powerful tool. So, yeah, I'm very happy to keep continuing making new music.
Ouais, effectivement, Jeff Tate adore faire de la nouvelle musique toujours, hein. Il se réinvente, il propose toujours quelque chose de nouveau, notamment. Il aime collaborer avec les gens, il aime parler avec les gens, il aime échanger, il aime toujours proposer quelque chose de nouveau, aller toujours au loin, toujours, toujours atteindre de nouvelles horizons, quoi. And always further. Always higher in your imagination, like great titles of your band Operation Mindcrime, such as Left for the Dead from a Resurrection album, or it has always you from a new reality. There is always inspirational sign from your mind, always experimental sign from your mind. This is your music.
Yeah, well, I'm just interested in a lot of different subjects, so that tends to influence the music I write or that I'm, you know, part of, you know.
Yeah, but you never do the same.
That's kind of the thing I do, I guess.
Okay. Jeff, something very old. Go back to, if you want, go back to 1986, we reached for their album. Queensrÿche at that time was on tour with Bon Jovi, and the subject of this album were the New World Order with the track New Regal, who spark off Rich Roar New Horizon and a track Screaming in Digital. Yeah. At that time, you warned the media about what would be happen in the future with AI, artificial intelligence. Finally, we are there.
Well, it was an album, Rage for Order was an album that I believe really set the tone for the kind of music that Queensrÿche would always sort of experiment with and be. It became sort of the album that defined us in an era, you know, and it's an album that I'm very proud of. Hmm. And coincidentally, it's an album that I was playing live in its entirety when the COVID situation started happening, and I had to shut down, of course, my tour. I was in the beginning tour in the United States at the time, and we were playing Rage for Order in its entirety, and also the Empire album, because of course it was the 30-year anniversary. So as it looks right now, there's things are starting to open up around the world in different places slowly, and I think by autumn, I think we should probably be back on the road full time, performing again, which I'm really looking forward to.
Effectivement, qui devait être, normalement c'était hier et avant-hier, il devait être en France, notamment concernant le 30e anniversaire des albums qui devaient jouer au complet de Rage for Order et ainsi qu'Empire, il devait être là. Bon, avec cette histoire de Covid, effectivement, vous le savez, vous avez compris que donc c'est reporté pour automne, mais en même temps, Rage for Order a été un album très très important pour la carrière de Queensrÿche notamment, et j'ai cité le titre comme New Regal qui parlait donc d'atteindre un nouvel horizon, et puis un autre titre qui était Screaming in Digital, et puis à cette époque-là, Jeff Tate donnait des interview où il mettait en garde le monde concernant l'intelligence artificielle, quoi. C'était les sujets de l'époque, quoi. And today with the lockdown that we are living, I have the impression that we are the world is living through the Operation Mindcrime album, because lockdown, because society, everything is closed here in Paris. People are lost their job. It's we are living in a very difficult situation at this moment.
Yeah, it's been that way in a lot of places around the world. I know here, where I live in Seattle, we were shut down for a long period of time. Mm. But now, with more and more people getting vaccinated, things are starting to open up now. And I know we're going to the UK in June and July for touring there. That's finally opening up, and I hope that France opens up again, you know, in the summer and by fall. It looks that way. It looks like things are picking up, and I think we could all use some time, you know, to put this horrible thing behind us and move ahead now, you know. I think we're all looking forward to that.
Oui, effectivement, Jeff Tate sera en tournée, sera en Angleterre entre juin et juillet. Donc, je répète aussi qu'il sera normalement en automne en France, donc pour assurer tous ses shows. En même temps, donc oui, ce soir, donc en direct ce soir, Jeff Tate qui est avec nous, donc est là pour nous présenter Sweet Oblivion, bien évidemment. Et en même temps, aussi, on parle aussi de la carrière de son groupe Operation Mindcrime Band et en même temps la carrière de Queensrÿche, quoi. And Jeff, do you remember the famous day in I think in 1987 when you walk into the Saint-Sulpice Cafe in Montreal? Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember the day. Yes.
Yes.
I remember spending quite a few evenings there, and that's where I started writing for the first Operation Mindcrime album. Was inspired by my frequenting of that certain pub. Yes.
Ah oui, effectivement, 1987, Montréal. Tu as peut-être entré dans un café qui s'appelait le Saint-Sulpice du côté de Montréal. In your mind, for the first idea or the conception of Operation Mindcrime was you were totally opposed to the American policy of the President Ronald Reagan at that time. Because social equality, propaganda, indoctrination, hypocrisy, educate the masses, religions, capitalism, conspiracy, that's the subject of Operation Mindcrime.
Well, a lot of the, Operation Mindcrime, for those that don't know, is a story album. Mm-hmm. It's an album that it's a concept album that tells a story of a certain time period with a certain group of people. And the setting of the story took place in Montreal in the mid-1980s, when the province of Quebec was going through quite a bit of political turmoil. And there were different factions of groups of people trying to overthrow the government and change things around. And I found the entire experience to be very interesting and inspirational. And so I set my story in that time period, and in that tumultuous time period, really. And it's funny enough, it's a story that has kind of proved to be somewhat timeless. You know, there's a lot of turmoil in the world, you know, politically, and different viewpoints and with people, and people trying to gain power over other people. These subjects are pretty classic, within the human story. So perhaps that's why so many people gravitated to the album over time, as they found it interesting, because it's about things that affect us all.
L'histoire de Operation Mindcrime est née notamment avec des gens qu'il a rencontrés, qui étaient totalement politisés du côté de Montréal. Donc il écoutait les gens parler, il y avait des associations comme ça qui étaient totalement opposées à la politique américaine. Il écoutait les gens, il était là et ça l'a totalement inspiré. Il participait donc à beaucoup de conversations et puis il notait jusqu'à ce fameux moment où il rentre dans le café Saint-Sulpice et puis il va poser sur un papier toutes ces idées, quoi, toutes ces idées-là. Donc voilà le concept, comment il est né dès le départ de Operation Mindcrime. Oui, effectivement, c'était autour de gens qui étaient ultra politisés. Donc voilà, c'est ça la fameuse histoire, quoi. And for this, you work on the Mindcrime video directed by Mr. Chris Painter, and it will be a huge success on MTV during the tour of Metallica in USA.
Yes, the video, the multi-videos that we made became very successful. Hmm. And the album was our first real successful commercial album. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ouais, effectivement, l'Operation Mindcrime, juste après la tournée, puisque la tournée européenne s'est arrêtée en novembre, donc 1988. I said the European tour, I remember because I was there, the support act of Metallica in Paris in the Zenith. In October 1988 and in November 1988, you stopped the tour and you go back on tour in January with Metallica for a 1999. It was a large success. Oui, effectivement, c'était un gros succès en première partie de Metallica. Et là, ils ont poussé les murs puisque la vidéo Mindcrime est sortie et MTV a vraiment poussé le truc. Et puis, Eye of a Stranger, et puis Revolution Calling, tous les clips comme ça étaient en rotation sur MTV et ça a été énorme. Ça a été vraiment énorme, quoi. And maybe, Geoff, one day, you will work on your musical version of Operation Mindcrime?
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. It's definitely an interesting story, and quite a few people have approached me over the years wanting to make a film out of it or a Broadway show. And it's there's a lot of interest in that. So perhaps, maybe one day, it will happen.
Ouais, effectivement, peut-être qu'un jour Geoff Tate travaillera sur une version musical Broadway sur Operation Mindcrime. C'est une bonne idée. Il y a des gens qui l'ont approché déjà pour ça, effectivement, pour cette idée-là. Lui, il dit ouais, tiens, ça c'est pourquoi pas. Effectivement, c'est une bonne question. Ça c'est cool, ça. And on the Empire album, two songs were very fantastic, Resistance and Empire track. Resistance was awesome. I love it. When you said Resistance, Liberal Opposition, Crying Violation, Stop the Madness.
Funny enough, that was the last song that I wrote for that album.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't initially going to be on the record, but it was inspired by Earth Day in 1990, and I was very inspired by the times and what was happening around the world. Different places were experiencing a lot of environmental damage at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of change has happened since then, and a lot of companies have had, you know, restrictions put on them, so they just can't, emit all these toxic materials into the atmosphere, and we put limits on what companies can get away with, you know, as far as putting impactful materials into the foods we eat and things like that. But at the time, there wasn't a lot of focus on that kind of thing. So I like to think that that album and that song in particular helped to bring these ideas into people's minds and maybe affect their consciousness a little bit.
Résistance, quel titre! C'était le dernier titre qu'il a écrit donc pour l'album Empire. C'est ça lui a rappelé énormément de souvenirs concernant l'anniversaire en 1989 effectivement. Et puis je vous dis c'est vraiment, il y a un côté politique, il y a toujours une connotation concernant les entreprises américaines, etc. Le capitalisme, c'est ça. Ce sont les thèmes favoris de Geoff Tate quoi. Là-dessus, ça a toujours été ses sujets favoris en développement. Voilà. Ensuite, do you remember when you sang Rocking the Free World by Neil Young during the acoustic show on MTV? It was fantastic.
I think we played around with that song. I think we didn't really know the song. We were just kind of jamming, warming up, you know, to play, and that was a song that somebody in the band started playing, and we just sort of fell into it.
Ah. Ouais, c'était, je me souviens très bien, donc cette vidéo est disponible sur YouTube, vous pouvez la voir, lorsque, durant ce set acoustique pour la promotion de l'album Empire, et donc il y a eu une journée comme ça sur MTV, et puis à un moment donné, le groupe donc est en direct, et puis joue Rocking the Free World, toujours dans cet esprit-là, quoi, et il y a aussi des textes qui vont avec, et c'était un grand moment, quoi. So I could talk about the fantastic album Promised Land. I remember the show in Paris, you were totally an actor on stage. It was fantastic. I have this DVD on my home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
All right. I have the DVD from Paris, yes. Yeah. It was a fantastic album. Very deep. Very deep album. Yeah. I think this is the deepest album of Queensryche. Promised Land is awesome. Really. Big, huge production. Very difficult to record it. But it was really good. Really good.
Yeah. We hadn't made music in... nearly 4 years when we decided to try to get together again and make music. And we went to a very remote island and set up a studio there. And I moved into the cabin that was there and started writing and recording. And it was a really unique experience, I think, that allowed me in particular to really have some time to think about what was on my mind and to interpret that in a musical way. And it's one of my favorite albums that Queensryche did.
Ouais. Effectivement, l'album Promised Land qui était énorme, je me souviens très bien de la tournée. Geoff Tate était en totalement en mode acteur sur cette tournée là sur scène, il se donnait à 100%. L'album est absolument fantastique, c'est un album très profond qu'ils ont enregistré sur une île, notamment du côté du nord de Seattle. Ils ont enregistré sur une île dans une cabane, ils avaient tout aménagé, et en même temps c'était une expérience unique concernant cet album Promised Land. And the album here in the new the Now Frontier and the show in the desert of the New Mexico, which were incredible ideas.
Yeah, that was a very fun promotional trip we did, and we played a show on the back of a flatbed truck, like a lorry truck, in the middle of the desert to a very small audience, and it was interesting. Yeah, I think it was a an interesting record that I love and still listen to this day.
I remember that because I think it was the same time of the movie with Jodie Foster, Contact. I think it was the same time. I really love this this show. I saw that on YouTube. I found it a few years later, but it was really good. Really good idea.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, and for that, the emotion was at the end of the journey. The emotion of this album was because this album is really important. It was totally a part of the Queensryche discography, but on the music, but it's a really, really deep once again, and really, really another part, another new Queensryche, another new way. That's why I said the emotion was at the end of the journey of this album, because once again, it's a reach a new horizon.
Yeah, and the imagery of the giant ear.
That's right.
Probably, and you know, something that stuck in people's minds, I think.
That's right. Yes, I remember the artwork. It's absolutely fantastic. Oui, l'album Here in the Now, The Frontier, avec son désert, avec son côté, effectivement, avec son show très spécial, notamment concernant dans le désert du New Mexico, le Soroco, je crois que ça s'appelait. Et il y avait un petit... C'était sur scène dans le désert, avec derrière d'immenses parabole qui partait directement dans l'espace. Voilà, c'était l'idée. Donc, atteindre une nouvelle frontière. Je pensais qu'il y avait un parallèle comme ça avec le film Contact avec Jodie Foster à sa sortie, pas quasiment à la même période. Et l'émotion de cet album est jusqu'à la fin. Pour la comprendre, il faut aller jusqu'au bout de cet album, jusqu'au titre Spool, pour comprendre toute l'émotion qui est donnée, quoi. And Jeff, what are the memories you keep of your shows in France?
Well, I have many... many memories of France, mostly because the audiences are very mad, you know, enthusiastic and very much into the music. And I love the way people there sing along to the songs, and they just feel, I think they feel the passion that I feel when I perform them. And so they mirror that passion back to me. So it's always a very good show when I play anywhere in France. And I've had the opportunity to play in quite a few cities in France over their many years. But I would like, and also I travel a lot in France. My wife and I started a kind of interesting side business called Backstage Pass Travel, where we take groups of people to different parts of France, sightseeing and touring, and we show them all the interesting places and that we have found over the years of traveling there. And it's a very popular place for people to go. They like going to France and experiencing it.
Ouais, effectivement. Donc voilà, le public français pour lui est merveilleux, incroyable audience. Et oui, il y a beaucoup de gens. Et oui, beaucoup, beaucoup de fans suivent. Ont suivi Queensryche, ont suivi Geoff Tate aussi, par exemple. Hein, depuis 84, la tournée avec Ronnie James Dio, Bon Jovi 86, Metallica 88, les Empire Tour avec Lynch Mob à l'époque en 90, les Monsters of Rock avec Metallica et AC/DC à Vincennes. Ensuite, il y a eu la tournée Promised Land, la tournée Q2K, et puis la tournée Tribe, etc. Il y a eu beaucoup, beaucoup de tournées. À chaque fois, Queensryche est venu, Geoff Tate était venu aussi avec Angra il y a 2 ans, je crois, du côté du forum de Vauréal, oui, c'est ça. Et c'était incroyable, quoi. C'est toujours une incroyable expérience, quoi. Jeff, thank you very much for this live interview. You will back again in France in autumn for your 30th anniversary of Reach for Order and Empire album. Wow, we will sing on stage. Amazing.
Yes, I cannot wait to come back. I miss France every day. And thank you for the interview. I appreciate it. Okay. Good talking to you.
Yes. Jeff, do you have a message for the audience tonight, please?
Oh, I'd say thank you so much for all the years of listening to the music and coming to the live shows. And I promise when I come to France, I will give you the best show I have ever given.
Ok, c'était donc Geoff Tate en direct ce soir sur 213 Rock on Vinyl Times Classic Rock Radio. Tout de suite, voici le single de Sweet Oblivion, l'album Relentless qui sortira le 9 avril prochain. Voici Another Change, 213 Rock.
follow you. I'll never forget what you've done.